Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of the CorporateCounsel.net and DealLawyers.com. I'm here today with Jonathan Axelrad and Anthony McCusker of Partners of Goodwin Procter out in the Valley. And last year we had Jonathan on a webcast on the CorporateCounsel.net taking stock of what was happening in the venture capital world. So I thought it's been a year now to catch up with these gentlemen and see what's going on these days. So the first question for you, Jonathan, is what is the climate for venture capital these days?
Well, thank you, Brock. I think it's probably going to be best for Anthony and I to both discuss this separately because we approach this from opposite ends of the telescope. I tend to focus mostly on representing venture capitalists in getting the money that they need in order to operate their funds and make investments into companies. Anthony works much more with the other side of the process, taking money out of the funds and putting it into those companies and then helping those companies be successful. So from my part of the world, the environment is tough but improving substantially. And when I say that, I'm comparing it to early 2008, which was a terrific time for venture capitalists to be forming funds. There was lots of capital available to them, and there was a sense that that capital flow would continue for a long time, which made people very willing to tap their funds in order to make lots of investments in new companies. Clearly, that feeling at the beginning of 2008 proved not to be very predictive. And we went through a very difficult period in 2009 where it was very difficult for venture capitalists to raise money for their funds. 2010 has seen quite a bit of easing in that area. We've formed a number of funds this year where the fundraisings have gone very successfully. And what we're seeing as a general trend is, of course, the people at the very top end are having no difficulty raising their money. People who are sort of in the middle, people who maybe have had a couple of funds under management since the tech bubble, are having quite a bit more difficulty in raising money for their funds. So if you think of an organization that's on Fund 2 or Fund 3, those are the people who are having the most trouble. Although within that range, people who specialize in very early stage investments seem to be doing better than people who are specializing in other parts of the venture capital food chain. And then finally, and perhaps the most pleasant surprise, is that we're seeing at least modestly hospitable environment for new entrants into the venture capital industry, people who are typically raising small funds, typically to invest in very early stage companies, sort of what you might think of as the most classic form of venture capital going back 20 years or more. We've seen a number of successful new entrants come into the market in the last year, which bodes well for the future of the industry.
I agree with everything Jonathan said on the state of the venture, and I do think from the company side, I approach, as Jonathan mentioned, I approach my practice from a funding of companies and representing investors at all stages in their actual investments into companies. And I do think that the environment is actually pretty good for making new investments, particularly in the early stage market. There are lots and lots of, I think, very good companies that are being started or have been started in the last couple of years. I think the trend of being able to get your company started for lower amounts of capital than you've historically needed, which is, a function of lots of nice developments in technology and cloud and costs just coming down, have enabled entrepreneurs to get out and start companies. And I think some of the trends that Jonathan's noticing in terms of investors being able to raise new funds focused on that sort of seed stage or very early stage plays nicely into that. I think you're seeing from entrepreneurs' perspective kind of a broader range of alternatives for your first round of investing, whether it's the traditional institutional venture capital firms that have been around, or a traditional quote-unquote angel investor, friends and family round And then those two categories have been supplemented by a third in the last couple of years of professional angels, if you will, or people that have funds that have been set up and are investing in very early stage and maybe putting very, very modest amounts compared to traditional venture metrics of, you know, $1 million or less oftentimes into a first round company. And those options have become attractive to some entrepreneurs because they can give up less of their company for their first round of money, and then maybe look to institutional venture or, you know, traditional institutional venture money later on. But you are seeing nice competition, I think, if you're an entrepreneur from all three of those initial sources of money, and I think that's resulting in some nice companies getting started and getting started in maybe smart ways where they're raising a little bit of money and testing out their business model or the hypothesis before they dive in and raise more. Seeing some nice and actually quite robust valuations in later stage, although I would, you know, I guess my experience and I think the experience generally has been that the later stage companies, whether it's a Series B company raising its, you know, second round of money or beyond, is a little bit feast or famine. Companies that are doing well have lots of suitors, and companies that have maybe stumbled or haven't performed the way they would have hoped and maybe have adjusted their model or their plan are having more difficulty raising. It's money is not easy if you've stubbed your toe once you've gotten past that initial startup stage. But you know, I think generally there is a lot of activity in the venture market. I think lots of companies being funded, and I think the venture firms, whether it's any of those categories I've described, are actively looking for new investments and digging up these good companies.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is worth noting, as an addendum to what Anthony just said, is that the variety of the types of companies that venture capital firms are investing in right now is actually quite exciting. We've seen over the last few decades the venture capital industry go through periods of almost monoculture-like investing, where everyone was chasing the personal computer and its ecosystem, or the internet and its ecosystem. What we've seen added in the last decade is really quite extraordinary in terms of geographic diversity, with U.S.-based venture firms investing, maybe not on a perfectly global basis, but certainly substantially in India, China, Israel, and we see the first beginnings of focus outside of those countries to places like Brazil, which is very interesting. Also, a subject matter diversity, not just investing in things that we would consider classical tech, but when you go, especially when you go outside the United States, you can do venture investing in things like restaurant and food service chains, because those are greenfield opportunities in those countries in a way that they are not here. So venture capital is become much more diverse in terms of the types of things that venture capitalists invest in, not to mention, of course, classic technology-oriented investments that are nevertheless new. Of course, clean tech being the poster child for that.
So are the VC firms partnering with firms outside the U.S., or they have people that are actually going overseas and looking, or are the those non-U.S. companies coming here to do the dog and pony show?
All of the above. We have clients that are sending their own people to overseas offices. We have clients that have hired in to be as part of their organizations, local teams. We have clients that have effectively merged with pre-existing local teams. And in terms of how the portfolio companies or the prospective portfolio companies get presented to these firms, it is very much opportunistic. It depends on who sources the deal, in terms of which team within a firm sources the deal. It's not at all heavily boundary driven. And a lot of companies that are proposing to do transoceanic business, you know, Indian and Chinese and Israeli companies that think they're going to have their primary markets be in the U.S., they're pretty savvy about coming here to meet with venture capitalists. But it's also the case that a lot of those companies are being identified at very early stages by local teams on the ground in those countries.
Great. Well, this has been a very interesting and informative, and I'm sure we'll be checking in. Maybe we won't wait quite a year to check in with Jonathan and Anthony, not wait so long, but this has been great. Thanks, guys.
Take care.